the brave are going. So grateful for ladies who want to teach the children about Jesus. It seems strange. I was anticipating for months Mike Schrock coming, and he came, and he's been here, and he's gone. And I was reading through Scripture, and I came to a passage. I read it, and Holy Spirit said, look again, and I looked again and reread it and decided I would use it for a message this morning. Acts chapter 26. I'm going to read one verse, and then we're going to read the whole passage in a moment. But I want to read one verse, the one that we're going to really concentrate on, but we need to look at the whole thing. Paul was addressing King Agrippa, and he said, after this, King Agrippa, I did not disobey the heavenly vision. All of our lives are a series of decisions. Am I going to obey or disobey? Will I do it my way or God's way? Should I fulfill the vision that God gave, or am I a quitter? The saddest thing that I can think of for a Christian is to quit before the job is done. And I remember, and if you attended Bob Jones University and you ever got to know Dr. Bob Sr., he was a big man, and he would stand on the platform, and this was back in the early 60s, and he would look directly at the preacher boys class, and he would say, don't be a quitter. And he'd holler. And if you were in the first two or three rows, you were in the spit zone. And he would say again, don't quit on God. And you know, that's the best advice I ever got. I'd like for us to consider the Apostle Paul and his experience on the road to Damascus, but we're not going to go there and look at that experience. That's recorded in a different portion of Scripture. Because in that experience, we're just reading about what happened to Paul. But when Paul appeared before King Agrippa, he went back over that experience. And he included in that a statement about what that experience did to him. And that's what we want to look at this morning. Acts chapter 26, I'm going to go back to verse 9. It's a long passage, so bear with me, read with me if you will. Acts 26, beginning at verse 9. Paul addressing, he's standing before a king. I truly thought within myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which I also did in Jerusalem, and I shut up many of the saints in prisons, having received authority from the chief priest, and they being put to death, I cast a vote. And I punished them often in every synagogue. I compelled them to blaspheme, and I being exceedingly furious against them, I persecuted them even to the outside cities. In which pursuit also, traveling to Damascus with authority and power of decision from the chief priest, at midday along the highway, O king, I and those with me saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shining around me. And all of us falling to the ground, I heard a voice speaking to me and saying in the Hebrew dialect, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? It's hard for you to kick against the goads. And I said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared unto you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness both to what you saw and in what I shall appear unto you, delivering you from the people and the nations to whom I now send you, in order to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from authority of Satan to God, so that they may receive remission of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. After this, King Agrippa, I did not disobey the heavenly vision. But to those first in Damascus and Jerusalem, and to all the country of Judea and to the nations, I made known the command to repent and to turn to God, doing works worthy of repentance. You know, pastors are strange animals. They are concerned about the souls of the people that God entrusts to them. They are concerned that they may not actually be saved in many cases, or that they may not be getting all the blessings that God has and He wants to pour out into their lives, because they've gotten off the path that God put them on. This past week has been a special week with Mike Schrock. Our hearts were touched as Mike shared the gospel with us, and there were times where some of us made decisions momentarily regarding our spiritual lives. What will be the effect of those decisions? Depends on what we do with the vision that God has given each one of us. Brother Schrock used lots of illustrations with us to make his point. And there's an illustration that I want to share with you that could have a bearing on what you do for the rest of your life. The illustration involves the actions of the Apostle Paul. We have the account of Paul's conversion on the road to Damascus, but the verse that I really want us to look at tonight, he was sharing this as a testimony, and sometimes your testimony is the best thing you have to share. You never know how it's going to touch a person's heart. You never know what experience you have had or might be involved in right at the moment that God wants to use in that other person's life that will bring them to a place where the Holy Spirit can cause them to be born again. The illustration that Paul used with King Agrippa as he gave his testimony was in verse 19, and it is verse 19. After this, King Agrippa, I did not disobey the heavenly vision. Folks, many of you had some kind of a heavenly vision during this past week. In one of the services under Mike Schrock's ministry, the Holy Spirit reached out to you. He touched your heart. And you saw something in your life that needed to change. But I can tell you this from personal experience. I hate change. I get into a routine I'm comfortable with. Oh, it may not be completely perfect, but I'm comfortable with it. And so when somebody suggests, well, you need to make a change, They're not quite fighting words, but they're offensive. And I want us to think about that this morning. All of us have a decision to make. And the decision is the same title as this message. Will you obey or will you disobey? And if you had a heavenly vision this week, that's the decision that you have to make. It might involve change. There are a couple things that I just really do not like anymore. It's got something to do with birthdays. When somebody mentions exercise, I break out in a sweat. Same thing if they mention shovel. Exercise is not one of my favorite things. And I don't know if you noticed, Mike mentioned that I think it was Tuesday night, he ran the bridge both ways, 4 miles. He's 61 years old. And I thought, I'm not even going to walk the bridge partway. I'm absolutely content to drive across it, okay? That's what they put it there for. But folks, we're not talking about physical things. We're talking about spiritual things. That's different. That's very different. Many of you invested 5 services, the time of 5 services, 6 if we count Sunday school, with Brother Mike. And the question is this: did you invest your time or did you waste it? Yeah. That's the decision that you have to make. Did you invest your time or did you waste it? Could you have been doing something else for those 5 hours or so, 6 hours? If you invested, you were investing in your soul. And so you have a decision to make. And the decision you have to make is, as you received a heavenly vision, do you do it or do you not do it? And Paul made the statement that he did not disobey. Almost a double negative. The heavenly vision. My concern for you is, what will you do with the heavenly vision you faced during the special meetings? Will you be like Paul and not disobey your heavenly vision, or will you just remain like you have been in the past and do the same things that you have been comfortable with? Sort of like myself. He touched my heart. I saw some things that I needed to change. Now, do I change them or do I not change them? And the first thing that I noticed with myself was I began to rationalize. Well, I got a lot of reasons for not changing them. I've got things that are taking up my time. None of us like change. And if we're going to do what God wants us to do, we're going to have to do something different. That also means that we will have to make some change. Brother Schrock has returned to Greenville, where his home is, and I feel certain that he's praying that the Holy Spirit will be working in your heart even now. That you will do what you must to initiate the things that God wanted changed in your life. The things that God showed you, that the Holy Spirit showed you, needed to be changed. Paul had a heavenly experience on the road to Damascus. And I pray that every one of you had a heavenly experience of some sort during these special meetings. I pray that each of you experienced that heavenly vision here at Coastal Shores Baptist Church. Unless you follow through with what that heavenly vision showed you, you wasted your time being here. Unless you like trumpet music. There was a little bit of that. And it was good. If you were convicted about something in your life that needs to change, change it. Change it. Let God's Holy Spirit empower you to be more like Jesus. And let the Spirit change you. You can resist Him. You can ignore Him. Or you can let Him change you. He changed you when you were saved. He took you from a dead soul to a live one. He made your soul alive again. And there was a reason for that. God had something for you to do. You're still breathing this morning. God has something for you to do. Because the minute that you're done, you're done. Now it's our desire for ourselves and for each of you. When I say our deacons pray for you. I pray for you. It is of no benefit, not one of us will be worth one penny more because we're praying for you if you make the change, if you do what we pray for. It is of no profit to us, it is profit to you and to your relationship with God. And that's why we're here this morning. I hope. Not just for the donuts, okay? There's still a few left, by the way. We want you to be what God wants you to be, not for ourselves, for you. He wants you to be someplace where He can pour certain blessings into your life. And in order for Him to pour those blessings in, you have to be in a particular place spiritually with Him. Otherwise, He can't pour those blessings in. Pride has nothing to do with it. Oh, we want to be a super church. No, that has nothing to do with it. That's not why we're meeting here. We're meeting here to worship God. We're meeting here to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no other reason not to glorify any one of us. We are all the same. We are all servants. God has a purpose for us. We might just be bringing water to the table. I don't know what your purpose is. Maybe you are the maitre d' and you're bringing the steak and potatoes. I don't know. But he has a purpose for each one of you. And I know this for a fact. Somebody out there in the world is depending upon you coming to them with the truth. Somebody is. I don't know who it is. You don't know who it is. But there is somebody out there that needs the truth, and they are ready to respond. The Holy Spirit has prepared their hearts. They don't know Jesus. They don't have an association with God or a relationship with God. But you can make that difference by telling them the truth. And it may just be the truth of how you got saved. But there is somebody out there who needs to hear, and they will not hear from anybody but you. So that's the job we have to do. Many times we read the Word of God and we don't understand or we don't comprehend what Jesus is teaching when he talked and ministered upon this earth. And I would like for you to see this particular passage for yourself. So I'm going to ask you to turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. And we're going to read a few verses together. This is something I didn't see till recently. Oh, I could see the individual parts of it, but I didn't see the total thing all at one time. Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. I want to read the first 8 verses, and if you will, read along with me. Matthew 6, 1 through 8. Jesus, talking to his disciples, said, "Take heed that you do not do your merciful deeds before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do your merciful deeds, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may have glory from men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do your merciful deeds, may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret himself shall reward you openly." Now, I knew that, but look at the next few verses. "And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, so they may be seen by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, enter into your room, and shutting your door, pray to your Father in secret, and your Father who sees in secret shall reward you openly. But when you pray, do not babble vain words as the nations, for they think in their much speaking they shall be heard. Therefore, do not be like them. For your Father knows what things you have need of before you ask him." Folks, it's not the number of words you speak, it's what those words are. A very short prayer can be as effective as hours of prayer, if the words are right. Mercies and prayer are the two things that are to be done in secret. I didn't put that together until I reread this passage. I know we weren't to go around bragging about who we were helping or what we were doing. Same thing about our praying. But folks, I know right now that a lot of you are praying for my wife. You are. I appreciate that so much. You're helping me. You're praying for me. And I don't have the strength to do what needs to be done many times, but God is giving it because some of you are praying. And you're doing it in secret. Praise the Lord. These two things we have to treat in the same way, being merciful and praying. Jesus gave us the same instructions about both. Too many times, people want to take credit for what God is doing. When you're praying and God is answering them, He is the one who should get the credit. He is the one who should be thanked. And we should be constantly in a situation of thankfulness. And sometimes that's hard when things are not going the way you think they ought to go or the way you want them to go. Thank them anyway. As a pastor, I am concerned that you may miss a great blessing from your Heavenly Father. It was in 1987 that Connie and I both responded to an invitation given by Robert Myers, a former missionary to Australia at Hampton Park Baptist Church in Greenville. We responded to an invitation that night, surrendering to God's will for us, not as a couple, as individuals. As individuals. And whatever happened to you this past week in these special services, it didn't happen to anybody else in here. It happened to you. And you are the one who has to deal with it, not as a couple. You have to deal with it as an individual. It's between you and God, not between anybody else, not between me, not between Mike Schrock and you, you and God. And He has a will for you, a will. And like Paul, do you do what He has expressed to you? Or do you not do it? Do you obey or do you do not obey? That night in 1987, I surrendered to the will of God. Connie surrendered to the will of God. We happened to be a couple, so we were both on the same page, going in the same direction, on the same path. I can tell you from personal experience, there is no other experience like it. Your life takes completely new direction. And it is blessed of God, and God provides for you what you have need of. You may not realize how much He wants to bless you, but that's what He's there for. He is not there to condemn you or to judge you. He has to, because He's righteous, if we don't do what He wants. But if we accept His will for our life, and we do His will for our life, He is going to bless you so richly that you will have no regrets. But once again, He reached out to you through His Holy Spirit, through the ministry of Mike Schrock. Now, what are you going to do with what He showed you? With what He opened up before you, gave you a vision for? Are you going to do it? Are you going to obey it? Or are you going to disobey? You are making the determination. You're either opening your life up to blessing, or you're opening your life up to that little still small voice saying, why don't you do this? Why don't you do this? Why don't you do this? And you will spend your time and your life fighting God's will for you. Now, you may not know where God's will is going to take you. That's okay. He wants to take you to the places that you're going to get a blessing from. He wants to take you to the places where you're going to enjoy yourself, where you're going to have a real joy in your heart, just knowing that God is using you to accomplish His purpose in this life. So where does that leave each one of us? It leaves us in one of several places. First, it leaves us exactly where we were before those special services took place. Or secondly, it leaves us fearful that God wants to change the plans that we have for ourselves. And we'll resist that idea and maybe close the will of God out of our lives. And the third place that we might be is confused about what God is trying to do. And actually, we're in need of counsel from a person that God has placed in our life for the purpose of providing that godly counsel. It may be your very mate. There's a fourth possibility. You could turn to the Word of God and seek to know what the Bible says about your problem. A moment ago, we looked at Matthew 6, 1 through 8, and I would like for you to look at verse 6 in that particular passage. Can you imagine what you are missing if you fail to follow God's working in your life? Let me say that again. Can you imagine what you might be missing if you fail to follow God's working in your life? Verse 6. But you, when you pray, enter into your room, and shutting your door, pray to your Father in secret, and your Father who sees in secret shall, what's that next word? Reward. There it is. That's what He wants to do. That's one of His purposes for you. He will reward you openly. And if you don't do what He wants, you're going to miss your rewards. And I can tell you from personal experience, God has a real blessing for you. All you have to do is obey. The Apostle Paul knew that. He had experienced it. I've experienced it. Others have experienced it. And I can assure you that it will be more wonderful than anything you might imagine. I can assure you that I will profit nothing if you follow the leading of God's word, of His Holy Spirit, and do what the Spirit leads you to do. I'm not encouraging you to try and do anything for me. It's all for Him. It's all for Him. Not for anybody else, just for Him. I'm trying to encourage you to do it for you. Please, God has prepared rewards for you, spiritual rewards, sometimes physical rewards. Don't throw away God's rewards. Don't throw them away. They're more valuable than you will ever imagine. Father, we know what you've told us in your word. And Father, we believe it. We ask that not only we believe, but Father, that you will help us to do the things you want from us. May this past week be a week of great profit to your kingdom. May this last week result in great rewards for your people. Father, help us to believe. Help us to make the changes we need to make. Help us, Father, to love you more. And we will praise you for all that you do. Because we will do these things for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because it's in His name that we pray. Amen.